Blog Talk Radio.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be done here.
Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody. Hello. And welcome to this edition to United Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Here I am again, your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and I would like to welcome all of my faithful UCA members and visitors. Right now, take the time out to call some of your family members and friends and tell them to call in. The number to call in is 646-668-8537. Send them a text or an inbox in their, on their Facebook page or wherever. Just send them a message. Tell them that we're on right now with a powerful message that you don't want them to miss, okay? So if you see my face, on, if you see us on Facebook or see me on Facebook, just click on my picture on Tumblr or Twitter, and wherever you see the post, this the post of this show, just click on it so you can listen to it from your computer. If you don't want to dial in, you can listen to it from your computer anytime during the program. You can click on or any day and time after this program. In case you missed it, you can just go and click on my picture and hear the whole program all over again, or just hear it for the first time, the entire program. Okay, so tell them to call in or click on my picture if they see the post. All righty? All right. I'm going to preach today on God, the self-existing one. God, the self-existing one. That's the name of the message. Now, I just want to say this real quick. There has always been a mystery between God and Christ. There has always been a mystery about God himself. There are so many questions people have about God. Like, for example, what God is the one true God? In other words, which God is the one true God? Does God truly exist? Where did he come from? Who created God? Is God only the God of the Jews? Is God angry with us? How do we come to know God? And the questions continue. Who is Jesus? Is Jesus God? If Jesus is God, then how is he God's son? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Did he really perform the miracles spoken of in the Bible? How do I get to know Jesus? It continues. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the function of the Holy Spirit? Do we really need the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit in relation to God? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with Jesus? Can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? A lot of questions. But all of these questions and more will be answered in today's broadcast. So don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we will be right back. Here's Searchlight. We'll be back.
You
UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. And all of you who are listening to the radio program today are UCA members because you are all believers, workers, and disciples of Jesus Christ. You're all ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, you are a UCA member. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask that you open the hearts and the minds and the spirits and the very souls of the people today that have tuned in to this broadcast. Lord, I pray and I ask that you open up their hearts and minds that they may receive this message today, that it will minister to them and lift them up to another level in you and cause them to desire to know you more, to fall in love with you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask this in the holy, wonderful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is done and it is done. Thank you, Lord. The message today, as I mentioned, is God, the self-existing one. Hold on to your hats because you are about to know God in a very special way. The God that you serve, if you're a Christian, then it's important for you to know the God that you serve, your Father in heaven. God, the self-existing one. God actually had no name that he called himself before he created the heavens and the earth. He was and is the ultimate living spirit being of supreme intelligence and great power. He is light, life, and energy. He is might and strength. He is ultimate wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He is the one and only great God that has self-created abilities. He is the source of all things, the creator of all things. He was, he is, and he is to come. He is past, present, and future all at the same time. He is the one and only right now God. God is from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity. He is the eternal God. He has always been in existence. There's no beginning of his existence, and there's no end of his existence. He is here and shall always be. God created himself as God or Elohim in the beginning so that all of creation could have a name to call him that identifies him as being the only great power of the universe, the great force of intellectual living energy that shall always be, that continues. When we read the name Elohim in the Bible, it is the name that describes the acts of God as creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is plural. Elohim is plural, but God is one God. He is one God with three parts of his existence, just like God made humans. He made us with three parts to our existence. God made us body, soul, and spirit. God manifests his own existence as the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God himself has a body, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the body of God. A soul, because he is love, and spirit, because God is spirit. But still, he is one God. He is one God who made himself three persons, and he works perfectly and live in all the three person parts of himself constantly and continually and at all times. And at the same time, God is and works in all three offices or in all three positions, all three persons as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the purpose of bringing man back into favor with him. When we were in the world, think about it, we once knew of him as God, just like most people in the world, but we didn't really know him at all. We only knew of him with our own concept of who we thought God should be. And many world-minded people still think of God in that way today. They make him what they want him to be. But now that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord, King, and Savior, we now know how great God truly is. We know how great God is, and we know him from this point as Father. When you see, we read about God in Scripture, but as we continue to read about him, we see that the time came while we were reading. When you're reading the Scriptures, you will see that the time came when God wanted to get very personal. So he added more to his name. He called himself Yahovah or Jehovah, or as we say, Lord, so that he could have a closer relationship with mankind. You see, when God created mankind, he immediately loved mankind. He even saw us and knew us even before the foundation of the world. So he called himself Lord God or Yahovah Elohim. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All scriptures before Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, all scriptures before then refers to God or refers to him as God or Elohim. But because he wanted a relationship with mankind, God had to make more names for himself according to his work of love that he will perform on our behalf. His work of being our deliverer, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and so on. His names identify him as our protector, our peace, our champion, our joy, our strength, and our hope. And God's names are the acts of God. His names are who he is. God's names shows us what he is going to be and do for us, and the many ways he was going to look after us forever. And all of mankind would have to know him by his names and identify him by his names. And he put all of these names in Jesus Christ. That's why when Philip asked Jesus to show us the Father, this is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Jesus told and indicated to his disciples more than once that he and the Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Therefore, because of God's acts of love for us, and because he is our source, and we came from him, he wanted to be known as Father. That's why he came into the world as Jesus Christ, because he wanted to be a very, very personal God. God became Father when he acknowledged Jesus as his Son, and his voice rang out that revelation of Jesus Christ all throughout the heavens and in the earth. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So now that Jesus is the Son of God, he made us sons of God because we believe and have received him. This beloved Son was God himself in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Word of God from the beginning when God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then the Word was made flesh. Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And because he is the Word, God is able to communicate with himself in his three parts of existence. He can communicate with himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he can also communicate with us and work in us individually and collectively, all at the same time. This is God we're talking about. He can work either as the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, or working separately in our lives as the Holy Spirit, as Holy Spirit, or as Jesus Christ, or as Father God, while still being one God. We must keep in mind who he is. He is the ultimate intelligence and reality. He is the all-knowing, almighty, breathing, living spirit being. He is the self-existing one and the one who causes existence. Everything exists because he exists, and as long as we stay in him, then we will forever exist. God paid the ultimate price for us when he became Jesus Christ, and to many people, it is still a mystery between God and Christ. But Paul put it this way, and he explained it beautifully. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." always know, and I say always know, and remember that God is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is Lord. One of the names of God are the letters YHVH. You've seen that before. YHVH, all capital letters. Sometimes you'll see it as YHWH. These Hebrew letters are pronounced as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Hebrew language. Why these letters? Because the Hebrew scribes had so much respect for God that they would not even pronounce his name. Instead, during their writings, they would write these letters when referring to him, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So if they ever did pronounce his name, they would call him Yahweh, because these letters are in that name. So these letters represented Yahweh. Letters in the Hebrew language often paint a picture, and these letters painted a picture of Jesus Christ. I mean, literally, a picture. When you break these letters down, you will find that these very letters point to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. These letters are not only prophetic, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. The first letter is Yud, meaning hand. Sometimes they say Yud, Yod, Yud, but Yud, meaning hand. Jesus stretches out his hand to heal and to cleanse. He demonstrated that when he healed the man with leprosy. The man came to him and asked him, if you will, will you heal me? And this is what the Lord said in Luke 5, verse 13. And he stretched out his hand. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The Lord stretches out his hand to save, like when he stretched out his hand to save Peter when he was about to sink after Peter had actually walked on water. Peter yelled out, Lord, save me. And the Lord's hand was right there to lift him up. And then together, both of them walked on water back to the boat. Jesus proved to his disciples who he was after his resurrection by showing them his hands. For verse 39, you see, when after his resurrection and the others had saw him, he had shown himself to the others, but Thomas wasn't around. So what he said is that, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. He had to show them who he was. He will show us his hands if we ask him. Whenever we literally see him, even in dreams or in visions, if we want to see his hands, he will show them to us. Now the next letter is Hey. Hey, there are many meanings to the letter Hey, and one of the meanings of the letter Hey means to take the bread of life, take of the body and blood of Jesus, take of the tree of life. Hey also means to behold, behold him. We shall behold him, Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We must believe that he came at the time prophesied, and we must see him in this hour. Therefore, we are to anticipate his coming very soon. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey also means to look. We are to look for him. Seek him out, Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We must look for his kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness now. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Also means to sigh. We sigh with relief because we have made it into the very kingdom of God, right in his presence. The letter A also means to reveal. God has revealed himself to us. He will know. He will now be clearly seen. Hey also means revelation. God has given us the revelation of Jesus Christ. He has unveiled to us the mystery between God and Christ. Hey also means light. Jesus has made us his lights. We are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, this is Jesus speaking. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I used to say that we reflect the light of Jesus, but now I understand that we become light. We become his light because Jesus, the light of the world, is in us. Therefore, we shall do as the scripture says in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He is also the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and we know that the number 5 stands for grace. A good example of that is the fivefold ministry that God has so graciously given to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We are to be perfected for the work of the ministry, of God's ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, we have to measure up, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have to measure up to Christ. That's why we're being measured. Even now, you're being measured. The next letter is Vav. One of the meanings of Vav is nail. John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, they said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The Lord will not hesitate to show you his nail prints, and he did it with Thomas. He will willingly allow himself, or rather, he did allow himself to be nailed to the cross for our transgressions. Isaiah 22, verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Then we come back to the letter He again. Remember, it's Yud He, Vav He. So we're back to the letter He again. He also means breath. It means that we are to breathe his breath. John 20, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. His breath is his spirit. It is his wind. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit made a sound of a rushing mighty wind, but it was God's breath. It was God's breath. But the Lord can also move as wind. Not but he also moves as literal wind. It's his breath. He can move in the spirit as he breathes, and he can move in the natural as he breathes. Exodus 14:21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The Lord used his wind, his breath, to divide the Red Sea, which made a pathway for the children of Israel to walk across the sea on dry land. His breath was specific. It went specifically to the sea and divided it and made a path. The Lord moved in Holy Spirit power even in the Old Testament times. The Holy Spirit was with the children of Israel, but he was not in them. We are living in the time that the Holy Spirit is in us, and he is in us today, right now, for those of you who are true believers, but only by measure. Even still, it's only by measure, which means it's a little here and a little there. That's why sometimes we're in the Spirit and then we're out of the Spirit, because it's by measure. But the day shall come when the Holy Spirit shall be in us and upon us, not by measure, but in fullness. We will be born again. And to be fully born again is to be born of the Spirit, which makes us like wind. John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it will. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When we're born of the Spirit, we step into eternity. So that's why he likened us to the wind, because we don't know where the wind came from or where it's going. Well, with us, when we step into eternity, the wind of God, we have no beginning and no end of life, of existence. But for right now, until that day comes, we must stay in the atmosphere, the air, the wind of God, so that we can learn more about Jesus Christ, which will make us fall in love with him more and more. The more you really learn about Jesus Christ, when the light comes on, when the revelation comes, you fall in love with him that much more. Then we shall be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of his Spirit. And that will bring us into change. When you receive the fullness of his Spirit, I'm talking all of it, that brings us into change. He will make us new creatures, celestial beings, fully born again people. Literally, physically, you will see it. The letter He also speaks of the atmosphere of God. The atmosphere of God is the Holy Spirit kingdom realm of God, which is the air we are to breathe daily, even now. We should start breathing the Holy Spirit wind air of God. The Holy Spirit changes the atmosphere in our surroundings, even in our bodies, souls, and spirits, so that he is able to teach us and lead us into all truth. Jesus told his disciples back in their day that the Holy Spirit was coming, and he is telling us now in this hour that the fullness of his Spirit is coming. John 16:13-14. Howbeit, this is the Lord speaking, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. Truth is reality. The Holy Spirit is reality. He will guide you into all truth, into all reality, reality of everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, the reality of all things. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. This is the Lord speaking, Jesus. He said he will glorify me, and he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is simply doing what Jesus did. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, he did what the Father told him to do. And then the Holy Spirit is now on the earth and doing what Jesus is telling him to do. All that Jesus has given to us, the Holy Spirit, everything that God, he gives to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. That's why he said, he receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit couldn't come to dwell in us until Jesus Christ ascended to the Father. Then Jesus returns in spirit to dwell in us. That's why he said he has to go to his Father for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come. He went to the Father, then Jesus returns in spirit, and he dwells in us. And the spirit that he returns in is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what is the Holy Spirit, you may be asking? Not what is, but who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, the third person or part of himself. He is spirit. He's the spirit of the Lord. And we all know that Jesus is Lord. He is the spirit of Jesus dwelling in us, which also means that God dwells in us because he is the spirit of God, and God's spirit is holy. Therefore, God, the self-existing one, is the Holy Spirit. And when he falls upon us as the Holy Spirit, he comes bearing gifts and fruit, which is what we need to finish this course and stand in the presence of God the Father. The Holy Spirit provides the armor we need to defeat the enemy. It is the Holy Spirit who connects us with God, and he will keep us connected as long as we stay with him, connected to him, and in him. And then, just as the apostles prayed and the Holy Spirit filled them up, Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It shall be the same in this hour as we pray. We will be filled even in a more powerful way with the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power. That sevenfold anointing is the former and the latter rain of God's Spirit upon us and in us forever. We will receive the seven spirits of God. This anointing is the fullness of his Spirit. Thus we will preach, teach, prophesy, evangelize, do miracles, perform all kinds of signs and wonders in the presence of all, and bring many souls into God's kingdom realm with great power. And we will do it in the name and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it shall all be for the glory of God the Father. So stay in the Spirit as much as you can in this hour, because it is the Holy Spirit that keeps us walking, living, and breathing the kingdom realm of God right now on this earth. And we are well protected by God himself, the self-existing one. So the sum of the matter is that the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which were written way back in the Old Testament times, are prophecies for us in this hour today. The same thing that it prophesied back in the Old Testament is revealed to us now. It prophesied Yud, the hands of Jesus Christ, who stretched out his hand to heal, deliver, and bless the people. It prophesied Hey, when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples and caused them to go out and minister his word to the world. It prophesied the letter Vav, nails hammered into his hand while he was suffering on the cross, which brings us back to the letter He again, which prophesied of his last breath when he gave up the ghost as he gave his life for us all. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh simply means hand breath, nail breath. God, the self-existing one, would not have had to operate as three persons in these three offices if it had not been for Adam and Eve's transgression. All of us would have been able to see God in his full glory and live in his presence from then even to now, this very day. But God loved his creation and especially mankind because he made mankind after his own image and likeness in the beginning. And now he wants us to return to that glorified image and likeness. Let us recap real quick. Who is God? He is the self-existing one who causes existence. He is the Word of God. He is the creator of all things, the source of life, and the source of all things. He is holy. He is Holy Spirit. Therefore, he is invisible, which means that he is wind, air, atmosphere, and breath. He is visible. Therefore, he is the bright and beautiful glory cloud. He is smoke, fire, and light. He is tangible. Therefore, he is God manifested in the flesh. He is celestial. He is the glorified Jesus Christ. And he shall dwell in us, and we shall dwell in him. We shall be one with the one who causes existence. We shall finally be one with the Lord in all of his manifestations of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the wonderful Holy Spirit, all dwelling in us in fullness. We will be lights, and he shall be our Father because he is the Father of lights. We will be his kings because he is the King of kings. We will be his lords, the lords that he shall establish because he is Lord of lords. We are his shepherds, because he is our great shepherd, and we are his priests because he is our high priest. We are glorified because he is glorified. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are new celestial beings because he is celestial. We are holy because he is holy. Our God is great and mighty. And we shall live with him and in him forevermore because he lives forevermore. Amen and amen. That's our message for today, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let the church say amen.
Goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say amen.
Lift your name on high. I'm so glad to sing your praises, yeah. I'm so glad you're in my life. So very glad you came to save us, yeah, yeah. He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my day, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. One day he will return. Oh,
to be